Blog Talk Radio.
Money, money, money. That's what we're talking about.
I'm no Galileo, but I know what I find. A new discovery. Glad that it's mine. It's not a satellite, indeed, in my view. Out of the blue, the brightest star is you. Supernova in the galaxy of you and me.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Budget Weddings NYC for You, the show that gives you hints for successful wedding planning, but also success after your marriage. All of this is out of my love for weddings and staying married happily, as seen in my book, New York City Budget Weddings, Elegant and Affordable. Now on sale via Kindle on Amazon, and in a month, in celebration of Women's History Month, I'm having a countdown sale with my two books, plus I'm publishing my newest book, which is a food plan book with prayers, which I'll reveal the title of on the March 4th show, so in 2 weeks you'll know the title. Speaking of books, my friend Carla Lynn Hall, who you just heard sing Supernova, my favorite song of hers, her much-awaited book on dating is out. It was out just in time for Valentine's Day, and all you lucky people who got engaged, I know of at least two people who got engaged on Valentine's Day. Congratulations. Her book is The Love Reset, which explains what may or may not be going on with your male companion within your relationship. And you can purchase her book as a PDF at http://datingrelating.com, and you can still get it for only $7 if you do it that way. On my next show, the 4th of March, besides revealing my title of my newest book, I'll be joined by Timothy George. And I met Timothy George at the bridal show at the, Meadowlands Expo in January. He is the founder of Elo Lip Care. It's a natural lip balms and company, and these are balms that really moisturize, not the ones that add oil and then disappear. So join us for that, and I hope you listened to Lose Weight with Robin, which was 2 weeks ago. Really fun show. And by the way, this is your host, Charlina P.S., and it's, what was I going to tell you about this? Not about me. Well, anyway. I know what I was going to tell you. The tables are going to be turned on me in March, right around the time that my books will be released and I'll be having the countdown show. There's somebody else who's going to be asking me questions. Can you imagine? Yes, yes. And her name is Valerie Kinney, and I'll be on her show, Valerie Kinney Talks, and that's the Rich Flow of Life series on YouTube. She has a prolific amount of shows, and she's been on for a short time, but she's always had really powerful guests, and she's in today. My guest this evening is financial consultant. Shall I tell you the name? I usually don't, but I'm going to tell you her name, Misty Muhammad. She hails from and lives in Baltimore, Maryland. We met at a webinar online series called Get Unstuck Now, and you probably know that is by Noah St. John, and that was in last August, and she's my accountability partner, so we check in on a weekly basis. But let me tell you about Misty. She assists clients with solutions that work within your situation and throughout all the different parts and cycles of your life and transitions. You may have heard her on another show talking about marriage and money, and that was via Living the Vows. And you can find that at www.livingthevows.com. And her topic on that show was merging two worlds together. And I have to share with you two of her sayings are, number one, bad money habits follow everywhere, especially within your personal life. And number two, half the battle is won with planning. Don't get off track. We'll discuss both of these in detail via the questions that I will be presenting to her, asking her today. And we're also discussing getting to the solutions before financial challenges arise during your engagement and early marriage. So please welcome Mohammed. And before she says anything, I just want to say, before I forget, that sometimes I do, if you do want to call in and ask Misty any questions, call us at 347-996-5829. Misty, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Charlena, for that wonderful introduction. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly.
Ah, excellent. I just wanted to make sure. But yeah, thank you. That was an awesome introduction. I'm so happy to be, on the show tonight with you and your listeners.
Oh, cool, cool. Very happy to have you here. So I'm going to dive in. Actually, I'm not going to dive in. I'm going to have you tell us how to get in contact with you. So if you could give your contact number now, and I'll have you do that again later on.
Sure. Well, it's a couple of different ways that that someone can get in touch with me, and that's through my direct number, which is 443-642-1230, or they can email me, and that is Mohammed Misty, and I'll spell my last name and first name. It's Muhammad MISTY at gmail.com. And those are the two best ways to get in touch with me.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. All righty, so I'm going to dive in and ask you these questions. Let's see. Who is, and this is kind of a long one, who is Misty Mohammed? And I ask that because prior to your life as a financial consultant, I have found out that you were in either the baking field or you owned a restaurant. And I want to know why you left that and how long you have been doing the, how long you actually were in that business.
You know, it's funny because I actually started baking probably when I was 12 because my mom used to bake just kind of on the side, and she got tired of doing it. But because I had grown up watching her, then when she was ready to stop, I said, Mom, you should let me do it this year. I think it was for the holidays, and she was kind of looking at me, you know, like, what do you know about baking? And I was like, I've been watching you for forever. And I had baked all her cakes that holiday. She didn't want anybody to know that I had done them, so she still sent them out as if she had done them. And when she got great feedback from everybody and they were saying how great the cakes were, that's when she let the cat out the bag and said, well, I didn't even bake them this time. And so after that, it just was a great way for me to make money growing up throughout the year. And, of course, I used to make a killing over the holidays. So I guess in some strange way, I guess you could say I've always kind of had like an entrepreneurial mind. Although I never really looked at it as having a business or anything like that, I just kind of looked at it as a hustle. So that's actually kind of how I got into baking. And then I stopped in my college years, and I really honestly, I didn't pick it back up until I started having children. And because I didn't like the ingredients that, you know, is in a lot of the baked goods and different
box things. Mm-hmm.
Right, the desserts, and I didn't want the children eating that kind of stuff, and so I just started baking little things here and there, which is funny because it's almost like I had forgotten that I knew how to bake because I just hadn't done it in so long. But the children wanted to do a fundraiser one year, and, you know, they had asked if we could sell my specialty dessert, which is carrot pies. And so they taste just like sweet potato pie, but it's all carrot. Mm-hmm. And so they had asked if we could sell those, and I said, sure, you know, we can try it out. And, you know, nobody really heard of carrot pie, so wasn't like people were running to buy them, but mm-hmm. it was one thing when you get it in someone's mouth, and it's like you would think that they've been eating it for years. Like, they're like, oh, this is so good. So that's actually how I started it as a business. And I had a good friend of mine who was writing a book, and she invited me to come to her pre-book release party, and she was looking for vendors. And so I set up a table and got rave reviews. She invited me to come back and do the actual book release. And when I came back with everything, like cakes, pies, cookies, and brownies. And she's just like, I didn't even know you did all this stuff. And so from there, I just started vending and going to different events and setting up tables. And in 2011, I had opportunity. Actually, it was, again, just someone I met, and they had my pie. And they actually went to a market on my behalf, and they said, you got to get this pie in your store. And I got a call one day, and they were just like, hey, you know, can you come in and meet with this person because they want to talk to you about getting your pies in their store. And so I think at that point, that's when I kind of knew I was on to something.
Wow. That's a great story. And even starting back with your mother, not telling anybody that she was not the person, that's kind of risky, just in case, you know, people would call her up and say, hey, what happened to your cake? What? It's different this year, but I'm glad that she had the faith in you that you could pull it off and that it was going to be really good. And I have never heard of carrot pie. I want that recipe.
That was going to my grave. I promised my kids that only it's two recipes. It's that, and it's our all butter pound cake. That's a family recipe. So there's certain ones that I promised them would just only be for them because. You know, I always had them in the kitchen growing up, and so my 60-year-old, so that's how I got out of the business, because once I got into finance, and I was doing both, by the time I got into finance, I had my products in stores, and life was very hectic, as you can imagine, between a business and working and raising three teenagers, and so that's actually... I was trying to find one of the children that wanted to take it on. And my 15-year-old at the time, she was helping me out anyway. All of my children have helped me out, and they know how to bake. But she was the only one that really wanted to do it. And so when she was 15, and she helped me out through the holidays because my health was kind of challenged at that time, and she kind of stepped up, and she did everything. Same way when I was 12, but she did it at 15. And she did everything. I mean, everything was perfect and flawless, and we got great feedback. And so January of last year, you know, her and I just kind of had a conversation, and I said, listen, you know, I want to focus on opening my financial brokerage, and this is kind of getting in the way. So that's actually why I stopped, because it was just kind of getting in the way, and I really wanted to kind of, you know, just take some things off my plate. Just so I can focus on finance full time, and she's had the business since January of 2015, and so she's doing her, you know, as they say, she's doing her thing. So I'm really proud of her. She'll be 17 in, next month, actually.
Oh, cool! Very cool. So I could swing down to Baltimore and still get some carrot pie, is what you're saying.
We can, you know what, maybe you can be our test person, because I've always wanted to ship our products and find out how, you know, the best methods to do that. And so I think I had put out on Facebook a while ago that we were looking for people that would be willing to kind of be our test person. So, and you can be a test person. We can send you a pie and see how it ships. But it's a very good.
Oh, I'd like that. Yes, please. Yes, please. Include me, and then you'll get coupon because my husband loves sweets. So you'll have two testers.
Good. The more the merrier.
Yay! All right. So now we're going to swing into the financial business. How did you get into it? What was the impetus to change?
I'm
baking too.
Honestly, just life happened. 2010. So I have an ex-husband, but I affectionately call him the husband because he was my husband, and so that is his official name. And but he made a big announcement in 2010. He no longer wanted to be married, and well, to me anyway, but we had a commercial cleaning business at the time that was doing very well. We had a little over 15 accounts. We were kind of right at that point where we were ready to start hiring people because we were getting more. And so he no longer wanted to be married, and he wanted the business. And so I did not want to fight, and so I sold him the business, and which left me with no income whatsoever. And so at 35, I'm totally starting over. I have no income, and he's totally out of the picture because when he left, he literally just left, like once we did everything. And so all I have is, you know, is my sanity and three children. And so I really just needed to rebuild a life, you know, for myself and and not really sure what that looked like. And I promise you, finance was like the last thing I thought of. And so after a couple of years of just working odd jobs, like I've worked probably in every industry and just trying to, you know, make ends meet and figure things out. I had a good friend of mine. One of the things, and I always share this with people, because I think sometimes there are people that want to find out how to get in certain industries or find out how to grow their business, and they're just not sure, but they know a person who is an expert in that field, and they want to figure out how to break into those circles. And one of the things I learned from Robert Kiyosaki years and years and years ago when I was looking into doing real estate was that he said if you want someone to mentor you or coach you, or you know, even if you just want to pick their brain, the best way to do that is to figure out what they need, because people always need something. And I had a young lady who was a life coach. That was her profession, but she had a mentoring program, and my girls were in her mentoring program. And because I was really trying to figure out life after divorce or separation, I talked to her and I said, what do you need? I said, because I need your skills as a life coach to try to help me figure out the next phase of my life. And I said, I'm pretty sure it's probably something you need. And she said, I do. I need a photographer. So she needed a person that could come and take pictures while she was speaking. And so she was actually working part-time in the industry. And she just kind of said, you know, my brokerage is looking for people. And, you know, maybe you should check this out, because she knew I needed money. And everybody knew I was looking for a career. I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And so she just kind of threw it out there. And, you know, it was just kind of faith. I didn't know anything about finance. I never, you know, gotten a degree in that industry. I have a mental health degree. So it really was just faith, Charlena. I just needed to do something. And the only way I know to create change is to just change and do something. So I had an opportunity, and I just decided to, you know, just take a step forward. And here I am 4 years later, and I will be opening my own brokerage this year. So I'm really excited about that.
Wow, that's great. 5 years.
Woohoo!
That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You are quite welcome. You are quite welcome. That is exciting. Oh, Misty Muhammad opening her very own brokerage firm, and you heard it here. I don't know if it was first, but I'm going to say it was first here, at least in New York. So what is financial planning, and why is it so important to all of us?
Really, financial planning is just the ongoing process as it relates to your personal finances, and it's just all about getting you closer to your goals and dreams and just kind of mapping out a plan. And so, you know, one of the things I always like to share when I do seminars or I'm invited to speak somewhere is, you know, it's like the paycheck is one thing that never came with instructions. And so when you think about it, it's like you get a pack of Kool-Aid and you get instructions, or, you know, you get an article of clothing, or just everything, you know, a toaster, a microwave. You know, but everything comes with instructions except a paycheck. And so when you're really looking at financial planning, that's one of the reasons why people fail financially. They don't have any financial knowledge. And, you know, that's the first reason. And then they don't have a written financial game plan. And the last reason is there's no accountability. So financial planning is really just about looking at where you are and where you want to be down the road, whether if you're looking at retirement or, you know, even a 5 or 10 year plan. And it's just an ongoing process where you know, you put your plan in place and then you work your plan to get there. So it's really important. It's kind of like having a financial GPS. You know, it's like if you were going to take a road trip, you know, if I was going to come to where you live in Jersey, you know, I wouldn't just jump in my car and say, well, let's go north, and I hope we bump into Jersey, or I hope we bump into Charlotte South. You know, and so we would use a map or, you know, a GPS or just some sort of tool or resource to help me figure out how to get from Baltimore to where you are. And the problem with people financially is they have no plan. And so they're just start working in their working years, whether they're in college or after college, and they're just kind of going through life because there are no instructions that came with their paychecks, and they're hoping that they bump into a wonderful retirement, or they hope they, you know, bump into a decent life after it's all up. And so planning just really gives people a method and a strategy, so that way they know if they're on track to have the life that they desire.
Okay, great. So that made me think of, wouldn't it be great if there was a financial planning in high school? I mean, because we're really big in high school on learning the new math, which I don't know if you've heard about the new math. Well, you have two children, of course you have. The new math or all of the testing that goes on. But if we could teach financial planning from that stage onward, it would probably turn our world around, if not in definitely the U.S.
I definitely agree, and I honestly even think it should start as young as elementary school, because so many concepts that I teach grown adults are really simple concepts that, you know, a third or a fourth grader who's learning addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division could understand. Mm-hmm. And so it's nothing, you know, one of the things I hear people say all the time when I sit with them or if I share, you know, information with them, is they say, you know, it's always, you always make it easy to understand. And so it's not a lot of financial jargon or, you know, it's always kind of say insurance speak or, you know, or securities ease, you know, it's always, I try to make it simplified and easy because it doesn't have to be difficult. And so, you know, I actually just submitted my first blog entry to someone, and that's the first thing they said. They said, you made it so easy to understand, and we're talking about women and money, and just some of the specific challenges that women have when it comes to finances. And so I think it can start as early as grade school, to be honest. Because the problem is children aren't being taught anything about money. And somehow magically when they become 18 or 20 or 21, they're now magically expected to start acting like mature, responsible adults with money. And no one, they didn't grow up, you know, just being socialized about how to save and what to do. And so I really get so excited when I come across an article or, you know, you see something on the news where you see parents that are really taking a proactive approach to, you know, get children invested, to have a vested interest in the stock market, and just kind of showing them how to buy shares out of Nike and sitting around and being, you know, walking billboards for Nike. So I think those are important skills. You can teach it. I just shared on my page, if anyone can, you know, wants to check it out, on my Facebook page, is a gentleman, I'm not sure where he's from, but he just wrote the first children's book on investing. And so I think people that, you know, are starting to understand that it's not a foreign concept. We don't have to wait until high school. So we really can get involved in young people's lives and teach them simple concepts where they can start to develop early habits early on, and then, you know, they can carry those habits into adulthood because, bad habits follow you everywhere, and I know you said that I always say that, but it really came out of parenting three children. And, you know, I'm looking at my children, and one day their feet are in my couch, and, you know, just little things you see children do, and I'm like, you can't tell me that you don't do this stuff other places. And because children are just, you know, they have an honest soul, so they just are who they are. They just know how to be who they are. And so I'm like, you can't tell me that you know how to fix it up when you go somewhere else. And so so if you're doing it in front of me or you're doing it in my house, chances are you're probably doing it at your friend's house or at your grandmother's house. You know, so I'm a firm believer that bad habits follow you everywhere. And with adults, because like I said, we didn't learn it as children, then we create bad habits early on, you know, when we first start working. And then we at some point we might decide we want to do a business, and then we start carrying those bad habits over into business. And so I get a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs and self-employed people that'll say, oh, you know, I just need your help with my business finances. And, you know, mm-hmm. I always say, well, let's take a look at what you're doing personally, because chances are whatever bad habits you've created on the personal side of your finances, you've carried mm-hmm. them over to your business practices. And so,
right.
So, you know, we just want to help with those bad habits that have a tendency to follow you everywhere.
Cool. Thank you. Now, I would like you to, again, tell us where we can contact you.
Sure. My direct number is 443-1230, and my email is MuhammadMisty@gmail.com. And those are the two
okay.
very best ways to get in touch with me.
Okay, terrific. And just so everyone knows, you can give her a call. Cell phones make long-distance phone calls, and there's nothing extra, and you'll get one of the best financial consultants around. So now, my next question, when should a couple who are just engaged talk about personal finances? Should they have already done so, or when should they do it? Should they wait until after they're married?
No, I don't think it's good to wait until after the marriage, because sometimes, like now it's tax time, and people are like, oh, well, let me get my refund first. And so I'm a big fan of already having a strategy. So that way when you get the money, then you're clear about, you know, again, it's about having that GPS, you know, and whatever strategy that you set for it. But I think now I'm a little old-fashioned in some ways, and I think it's important for particularly, I think it could probably work either way, but particularly if you're entering into marriage for the first time, I think it's really important to do some sort of premarital something in the way of counseling or, you know, so you can kind of get to know each other and talk about the stuff that often people who don't go through that process would not normally find out until they're living under the same roof. You get what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah. And so one of the things that I'm really going to endeavor to do this year is I'm always looking for strategic partnerships. And so one of the things that I thought about doing is forming strategic partnerships with marriage counselors or people that do some sort of premarital, you know, services, because I think it's important to get a person like myself with a certain financial skill set in on the conversation so you can start observing and learning what is this person's money habits before we get into it. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Once you get into it,
yeah.
you're in it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not going to say you can't get out of it, but you're in it. And so I think it's important because, you know, it's the surfacey stuff that we know. You don't really know a person, so you have to live with them day in and day out. And,
right.
and I think if you're having those constructive conversations and you engage yourself in a process where you can learn the deeper stuff and you kind of can make a fully informed decision at that point. Now, I wouldn't suggest merging any money or merging any kind of finances before the marriage because you're not married and, you know, you don't want
right.
to start commingling finances with another person. And, you know, just let's say it doesn't work out before you walk down the aisle. Then it's no harm,
right.
no foul, and everybody can kind of walk away unscathed.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I definitely think it's good to start putting a strategy together during the engagement process so that way everybody's clear about some of the things that need to get done once the I do's are said and, you know, you guys are back from the honeymoon and life is happening.
Terrific. Now, we have actually run out of time, so I'm going to officially invite you back possibly later in March. Would you be able to come back or early April?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
And I'm sorry because I didn't realize that it was only 30 minutes. I thought that this was an hour, so I thought we had, you know, some more time. But It's all good.
Right.
I would
love
to come back, and you know, we can jump into the meat because I know you had some other stuff that you wanted to ask about.
Yes. But yeah, and I'm actually going to probably jump off from this question to ask you about. Well, you know what? For just 30 seconds, if you could speak on. I've known a couple of people who have been engaged and bought houses together. What's your take
right.
on that?
Well, I mean,
before
again,
them.
That's a huge commitment. That's a huge commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Because then again, you know, trying to get, unfortunately in this country, getting into stuff is a lot easier than getting out. And
mm-hmm.
one